morning. Welcome to God's house this morning. Is everybody thankful to be here? Pray that you feel blessed. And we're thankful you're here to worship with us. Way of announcements, we have church council tonight, deacons meeting tomorrow night. And remember to look inside the bulletin and on the back for ongoing activities. And, just remember those on our prayer list. And, remember those lost loved ones, and especially remember the lost. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and mercy and grace in Jesus. And most of all, Jesus, Lord, and the Holy Spirit that you sent to guide us, and we're thankful for each one that's came out. Pray for blessings to be with the pastor as he brings your message and the singers as they sing, and pray that we will worship freely in a way that's pleasing to you and not just follow religious routines that we normally do, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you be with those on prayer list, and your blessings be with them. I pray for those who lost loved ones, and pray that your Holy Spirit would fill the lost, and that they would know Jesus before the end of the day. In his sweet and precious name we pray, amen. Amen.
Good morning, church. It's a beautiful Sunday morning, and the sun is shining, and told the choir out there in the back there, I hope that the sun shines in here too, and let's just open up our hearts and minds and worship God in the way that he expects us to. So let's stand and sing number 300, Without Him. Singing 474, we're singing 475. So, let's look out a little bit. Must Jesus bear the cross of love?
chapter 6 will be our text this morning.
It's children's church time. Brother Ken, you can go. No, very good choir. Enjoyed it. And we're thankful for everybody that does work with the choir, that works with our Awana, our children's church, all that goes on. It's not without preparation, and a lot of time and effort goes into it. All right, we'll be our main scripture, kindly our diving board scripture, if you want to say, will be in Hebrews chapter 5, and we'll be beginning in verse 11 of chapter 5 of Hebrews, and reading through verse 3 of chapter 6, and then we'll be looking at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. But it is good to be with you today. I'm so thankful for the sunlight, ain't you? I told somebody the other day, I said, man, it feels like Groundhog Day. I told Amy, I said, it feels like Groundhog Day, the movie. And she said, I think it is Groundhog Day. And it was. It was the 2nd of February. So, but man, we've had two wonderful days, gorgeous days. A little chilly, but I'll take the chilly if you give me the sunlight. But if you're watching my Facebook, if you're listening over the radio, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 5, we thank you for being able to be with us. But Dan, it's good to see you this morning. Sister Jenny, good to see y'all back there as well. Do be praying for some of our families, the Chesters, the Worleys. They've had some deaths of loved ones. And then there's sickness going around and different things like that. So we got a boy sick at the house right now. So just be praying for them. And then also, if you haven't heard, as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 5, we've got a new baby girl. And I say we because I'm just a part of the Cole family now. And Hannah Chrisley Cole. And I think it was Thursday I was able to go and spend a little bit, and I held her for about 20 minutes. And I hold a baby good. You know that? I mean, she was so contented for those 20 minutes, and I told her Jesus loves you. And I promise you, she smiled when I told her that. But do be praying for Sister Caitlin and Brother Chris. But as you're turning to Hebrews chapter 5 and Galatians chapter 6, usually I say, somebody give a testimony. I'm going to put it this way this morning. Is there somebody that will stand up and tell me what the Lord has done for you this week? Maybe not even stand up, just from a seated position. Got a healthy grandchild. Amen.
The Lord has made sure I've had food and clothes on my head.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Danny. Yes, sister.
The Lord gave me
promise. Amen. And we're thankful He did. How's your cousin? You doing better? Yeah. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Lucy Rose. Lucy Rose. Beautiful names. If she's uncontent, I'll hold her, okay? We'll get her contented. We'll content her. Anybody else? All right, this morning, I don't know how it's going to go because usually I get a pretty good outline, you know, for it. I don't have any type of outline really today, just a bunch of words on paper. So we're going to see what happens. But this morning I want to talk to you about a word, probably an overused word, and that's high maintenance. High maintenance Christianity. And usually, you know, there's always, what my desire is number one, to preach God's word. Not what I want to, but what God, thus saith the Lord. And also I want to present a question that has to be answered, that you have to answer. And that's always Jesus. You have to do something with Jesus. But also, I ask, when I pray over our time together, I pray that the Holy Spirit take His Word and shine His light into our lives. And if there be anything in our lives that, hey, show it to me and let me be willing to deal with it. And that we leave here more in tune with our Creator than we were when we come in here. And so today I'm going to talk to you, the name would be High Maintenance Christianity, and the question would be, are you a high maintenance Christian? Are you a high maintenance Christian? Did you get the characteristics of a high maintenance Christian? Did everybody get a handout this morning that wanted one? Somebody, you may not want to know if you're high maintenance. Amy already says, I am high maintenance. I'm a snowflake. I get it, buddy. You gotta make sure. But high maintenance Christianity, and am I a high maintenance Christian? Would you stand with me in the honor of God's Word? Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. Say amen if you're there. All righty. Of whom we have many things to say, and that are hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. When ye... For when ye... For when... the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both evil and good. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundations of repentance from dead works and from faith toward God, and the doctrine of baptisms, and the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we do if God permits. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and you can be seated. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I am thankful to be in your house today. And Lord, like I've said before, Sundays are my most favorite day of the week. And God, I thank you for the beautiful sunlight today. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's just kind of like the cherry on top, and that you're expressing how you favor me, Lord, and I want to make it personal. And God, I'm thankful, Lord, that you love me. I'm thankful that you do forgive me of my sins. I ask you, Lord, for the blood to be freshly applied. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you be in our midst today, Heavenly Father, Lord, and you just blow through this place. God, be with those that couldn't be with us this morning as we're thinking of those that are dealing with grief. Some are dealing with sickness. Lord, others are dealing with situations that we don't have any idea that they're going through. But God, right now is your time, Heavenly Father, Lord, and I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you use it as you see fit and that we will respond in the way that you would desire us to respond. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Is my microphone not on? Okay. All righty. I'm going to read that again, not because I did such a bad job on it, which I did, but I'm going to read it out of another translation this morning. Out of the Christian Standard, Hebrews 5:11. We have a great deal still to say to you, and it is difficult to explain, especially since you have become too lazy to understand. Because although by this time you ought to be teachers, you still have need of someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation. Again, you need milk, not solid food. Now, everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced. They have no practical knowledge, nor do they know how to apply the truth of God with the message about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between evil and good. Therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings behind about Christ and go on to maturity, not having to lay again the foundation of repentance for dead works, faith in God, or teaching about ritual washings, laying on of hands, and even the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. High maintenance. I don't know. I mean, there's songs that talk about high maintenance and different things like that. And it's a word that we've probably all said. Maybe we've called somebody and said, hey, You're really getting high maintenance. You need to go on down the road right now. Or either we're the ones that are being called. You're high maintenance. You need to get out of my face and leave me alone for a little while. But what does it mean to be high maintenance? I mean, you've got certain things that are high maintenance. Types of cars, Jaguars. They're good looking. They're fast, but man, they break down. And then they're expensive to put back together. Then there are those that are sick. Caretakers recognize that when you're taking care of someone, you can't focus on yourself, your needs. Matter of fact, there's statistics that say the one that gives the care often passes away before the one they're caring for. And then there's babies. This is one that, okay, yeah, people volunteer for those high maintenance things, don't they? I'm like, yeah, we'll take another one, come on. But the idea here is that they require a large amount of time, a large amount of service, maybe even a large amount of money. But you have to put attention, effort, all that. I mean, it's just, you get to a point to where, is it worth the money? Is it worth the effort? Is it worth the time? You know? And then there's high maintenance, the people. They tend to be a lot of drama revolving around those type of people. They demand a lot of attention, time, along with emotional different types of situations you're involved. Everything has to be handled right now. You know what? Since I've got older, I've realized there are very few things that I have to decide right now. And if you're the type of person that wants to make me decide right now, you're not the type of person I want to keep around me very long. You understand? Praise God. The world ain't going to end tomorrow. And if it does, hallelujah. I know the one that's ending it, okay? But I looked up the definition of maintain, because really and truly, to maintain something is a positive reality. The idea of maintain, it comes from the Latin word, I ain't going to try to say it, don't worry, which means to hold by the hand. And I want you to keep that in your head this morning. Maintain or maintenance comes from the root word in Latin, which means to hold by the hand. Maintain means to keep in existing condition, to repair, to preserve from failure or decline, to sustain against opposition or danger, to uphold and to defend, to continue and persevere, to carry on, to keep it up, to support or provide for, to sustain. Hallelujah. I have a Heavenly Father that maintains me here on this earth. And hallelujah, He's going to maintain who I am, where I am, and what I'm doing for all of eternity. One of the greatest privileges that we have as Christians is to help not only maintain our walk with the Lord, but do you realize that there are people that God has placed around us that He expects us to help them maintain in their walk with Him? The children that we see running around here on Sunday mornings and Sunday evening, the youth, the young adults, the older folks, God has brought us together. We're not meant to be isolated. We're not meant to be Lone Ranger Christians. The Bible says that He has weaved us together as the body of Christ, and that the ear and the nose, they can't abide by themselves alone. In the mouth, it can't do its thing on its own. We all have to be together. You see, the idea of maintaining is biblical. Turn over to Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. You're going to know this passage, most of you will. It's a very uplifting one. Matter of fact, me and Brother Otis and Brother Ken were talking about a situation this morning, and I know that this is the Scripture that it was based upon. Are you there? Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is overtaken in any wrongdoing, the King James says, if a brother is overtaken in a fall, you which are spiritual, restore that person with a gentle spirit, watching out for your own selves so that you will not be tempted as well. Verse 2, carry one another's burdens, because in this way you will fulfill the assignment or the law of God, of Christ. For if anyone considers themselves to be something when they are nothing, they are deceiving themselves. Let each person examine their own works. They cannot take pride in themselves alone, not comparing themselves with others, because each person must carry their own load. Jump down to verse 7. Do not be deceived, and know that God is not mocked. Whatever a person plants, they will most certainly reap. The person who sows to their flesh, to their own selfishness, their desires, their own wants, they're going to reap destruction from that flesh. But those that sow the Holy Spirit will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not get weary. Don't let us not lose heart. Don't become discouraged in doing things that are good. Because at just the right time, we will receive what we need. That is, if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let our efforts be for good, for the good of all, particularly for those who belong, and I'm going to add this word, to this house, to the house of faith. Now, compare these two passages. We look over in Hebrews, and he begins by saying, hey man, I still got a lot to tell you. And there's almost an excitement, or at least I perceive an excitement from the author saying, man, there's some deep stuff coming up. And then he gets to thinking, well, hey, you know, it's kind of like math. If you didn't understand what we did yesterday, then this is going to go straight over your head. Because math builds on each other, you know. You just keep getting higher and higher, deeper and deeper. And that's the way the truths of God are. You've got to start out at the basics. Remember, he said, we shouldn't have to rebuild the foundation, boys. There's certain things that we know. We know about turning away from dead works, dead lifestyle. We turn away from sin and death, and we turn to life in Christ Jesus, faith in God. And he says, hey, we know about the resurrection. I mean, we shouldn't have to talk about those kind of things. Baptism, all that stuff. That should be, hey, that's, remember the word? Elementary. Elementary. Yeah, that's the basics, man. That's where you go to learn your ABCs, your 1, 2, 3s and all that, right? By the time you get a little age on your maturity, we shouldn't have to be doing your 1s and 2s of the timetables. We'll move on up to fractions, man. And that's about the way he is. And notice what he said. He says, and you know why you're not going to comprehend this thing? Because you're being lazy. You're not willing to invest yourself. And he says, yeah, they're kind of hard for me to explain. And they're even harder for you to understand. But remember what he said about the parables? They said, why are you teaching in parables? He said, some people don't want to know it. And in the parables, it's hid from them. But those that will receive it, they'll understand the parables. And see, today, that's the kind of the high. What we see there is he's saying, man, if y'all were young Christians, I wouldn't have a problem. If you were so young that you should be drinking milk, and that I had to go to the principal things, that the primary things, I'd have no problem with that. But man, guys, you're at an age where we should be talking about calculus and other types of big words like that. He's saying we should be in some deep waters. And I think we're living in a time where we have, if there are most Christians that are sitting in a church in America today, then the majority is high maintenance. It's about me. I pay my tithe. I expect to have my seat. I expect the music to be the ones I like. I expect for the preacher not to preach past this or that. My religion is a little bit about my God, but it's more about me being pampered. Feel good. Deal with my problem right now. But then, look what he says in Galatians. Paul says, hey, you ought to be helping somebody else. You shouldn't. It's not about you. It's not about you. Look what he says. Notice what he said. This is what stood out to me in this passage. Notice what the key thing, and here is that privilege that I was talking about being maintenance. Look what he says in verse 2. What does he say? He says, carry another's burden. He said, what he's saying there, he says, I'm expecting you to work a little bit. And I'm expecting you to be engaged. But it's not going to necessarily benefit you right away. It's going to be about somebody else. And I understand that each and every one of us, we're called to carry our own burdens. Amen? What did Jesus say? If many, in Luke, I believe it is, chapter 9, he said, if any man or woman come after me, what do we have to do? We must daily pick up our burden. We must daily pick up our cross and follow him. And you know what? We can't expect somebody else to carry our burden. But God has told somebody else to carry their burden and to help me carry my burden. And I hope that makes you feel good today. That your Creator is so concerned with you making it. He's so committed to you being an overcomer, to you being a victor, that He says, I'm not going to make you bear that burden alone. I'm not going to make you bear that cross alone. I'm going to put people around you, and I expect them to be there for you. But notice what's happening. And we've all seen it. Somebody's going along good, and they've got their burden to bear just like we do. And what I see kind of here is they're kind of hiking a mountain, you know. Every day I'm climbing. And they're going along good. And then all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, they fall down. And you know, it really doesn't matter what their sin is. Maybe they lost control of their emotions. Very easy to do. And they cuss somebody out. Kicked a dog, shot a bird, did all kind of bad stuff. Maybe they entered into a sexual relationship outside of the bounds of marriage. Maybe they have a parent that is sick unto death. Maybe a wife, maybe a husband, maybe a child. Maybe they are sick unto death. And they're in a place where they have problems believing. Maybe they just living a life at 65 that they sure didn't expect or pray for when they were 25. Because it ain't fair. What does it matter? Why is one fall greater than another? We all fall. We're all broken. And God has brought us together to help heal the broken, to help carry one another. And here's the thing, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. All have sinned. And I want to tell you something. I don't care when the day you got saved was. That was not the day you stopped sinning. You've sinned already this morning. You may not keep track of it. You may not be as bad as I am. But when I stop sinning, it's the day I leave this body. Because see, there's a civil war that's constantly waging. I don't know if y'all have ever noticed about me, but one of my arms is shorter than the other. It is. Matter of fact, if you notice, this side is ugly and this side's pretty. It's the way it is. My right side looks better than my left side. And it's like they're always fighting. One wants to look at himself and the other's like, no, I'm prettier. No, but see, that's what Paul said. He says, there's this dichotomy going on inside of me. And you know what? I want to live for the Lord. I want to do what's right. I want to do this. And there's a fight going on. We all fall. We all fall. For all have fallen short. They've been overtaken. Out of the blue. Ain't that the way sin comes? Ain't that the way the flesh hits us? Just out of nowhere. Boom. But notice what he says. Paul says, okay, don't be surprised by the fall. All right? We ought to understand that, shouldn't we? We ought to understand that. If anybody in the world can understand that, we as Christians should understand that. And notice what he says, okay, when they fall, stomp on their head a little more. When they fall, tell them, I knew it was going to happen. Tell them that, well, you'll never serve God again in the church. No, what does he say? He says, you who are spiritual. Now, notice he didn't say, okay, trustees. Trustees, you go help the fallen. Nope, didn't say. Notice he didn't say, preacher, you go deal with the fallen. He didn't even say, highest tithe giver, go deal with the fallen. No, he says, you who are spiritually minded. Spiritual. What does it mean, spiritual? I read my Bible. I'm there every Sunday morning. This is what it means. It means that you have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that the person of the Holy Spirit has breathed an eternal breath of God inside of you. Where there was nothing but death, life is living. And that the same one who breathed that breath inside of you has now moved and he lives inside of you. And he empowers you and he drives you and he moves you to the feet of Jesus. And he makes you want to look and act like Jesus. That's what spiritual means. Spiritual means of the Spirit. What Romans chapter 8 verse 9, it says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He says this, flesh and blood cannot enter into the presence of God. But however, Romans 8, 9, you are not in the flesh. You're not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. Ye who are spiritual. Those of us that have the very presence of God living inside of us. Does God ever just beat you down when you go to Him sincerely? You think God ever runs His mouth about you behind your back? You think He ever talks down to others? No, the Bible says that He is my intercessor. He is my advocate. When the devil, the accuser of the brethren, comes and tries to run his mouth about me or any other Christian, we look at Job and we see how he does for us. That's my boy, Job. That's my boy, Brian. That's my girl, Amy. And I've already handled you. Now, we know that there's God allows certain things in our life, but the Spirit of our eternal Redeemer lives in us. And He says, go to that one that's fallen. Go to them and help them bear their burden. Go and lift them up. Notice He says, I want you to help them carry their burden, but how are we going to do it? Now, in the next verse, He says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to them, and I want you to restore them. Now, think about it. Remember, they were going along good, right? They was hiking that mountain, toting a burden. Can't you picture them? They got their backpack on. That's their burden, right? Backpack. They're going good. And then all of a sudden, they hit a rocky path or something like that, and legs go out from under them. Burden starts flying everywhere, you know? Water bottles going here. Granola bars going there. Everything. I mean, it's just going all over. And it says that we're to reach out. We're to carry. One translation puts it this way. Listen. Remember where it come from in the Latin that we're to reach out and hold by the hand? Listen. One translation puts it this way. We are to stoop down and reach out and grab hold and uplift the fallen. Now, if somebody's walking on a trail, going up the mountain, and they're with me, and they're walking on a trail, and we're walking, we're positioned side by side. We've got the same destination. Amen? I mean, we're going the same way. And we're walking side by side, and they trip and they fall. If I'm going to help them, I'm not going to be able to stay in the position I'm in, right? The idea is, if they're on the ground, and if I'm really going to minister to them, I'm probably going to have to get down on the ground with them, right? That's humility. Lowering your status. That's what Christ did, right? He humbled Himself. Okay. And you know what? If the water bottle flies over there, if I make sure they're all right, what am I going to do? I'm going to go grab a water bottle. I'm going to go get the granola. I'm going to put myself in whatever position they need me to put myself in for their benefit. Right? Do we do that for one another? Is that how we envision our relationship with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Or is it, hey, how you doing? I'm going to get out here as fast as I can, but I'll see you tomorrow or next Sunday. Where is the interaction, especially since COVID? You see, just because there's a new normal doesn't mean it's the right normal. And see, this is, I believe that it is a designed attack, not by human beings, but there might be, to change what not only America looks like, but the church in America looks like. And they do that by separating us as brothers and sisters in Christ. And so I put my hand out. I reach, I get in whatever position I need to so that I can hold them with my hand. So I can secure them. Because you know who's got me? He's got me. He's holding on to me. I'm spiritual. Amen? You spiritual? I want to be more spiritual. But think about this. In my head, that's the way I'm seeing this scripture. I'm going to stop. I'm going to help them maintain their... I don't want them to lose any more ground than they've already lost, okay? I know they've fallen and they've lost some. And I may not like where they're at right now, but I got to do whatever I got to do to stop them from going back any further. And here's the thing. Why am I doing that? One, because I've fallen before. Fallen many times. Going to fall again. God's put good folks around me. They've put themselves in some difficult positions to make sure I didn't lose any more ground. They called the granola. Another thing, I've been called to do that. What did he say? He said, because if you do this, you fulfill the law of Christ. This is his law. This is what he's telling you to do. And something else, that's what good people do. That's what Americans used to do. We put ourselves in difficult places so that others might be benefited. That's agape love. That's the love of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He put His own Son in the most difficult of positions. And now, whosoever trusts in that Son will receive an eternal benefit, which is everlasting life. Isn't that awesome? And then, another reason is there may come a day when I really need the person that I'm helping up. They may be the very one that catches me when I fall. You ever thought about that? And all it takes is one, the heart of God, and two, a little effort. I remember the maintaining. Remember the definition of maintaining? To keep in the existing state. To repair, to preserve from failure or damage. To sustain against opposition and danger. Hey, some of these hills around here, you start falling and it's going to be a long time before you stop falling. And that's the way it is with sin. To continue or persevere, to carry on, to support, to sustain. Isn't that awesome? Man, that's just beautiful, to be honest with you. It's a beautiful thing. And sometimes it's hard to let others hold you. You ever thought about how embarrassed the person that fell is? I've been walking 40 years. I don't know what happened right there, you know. Been doing good. Everything was okay. I took just a wrong step. Next thing I know, I'm looking up, but thank God you were there. We understand many times that maintenance is a benefit. And you know what else? Sometimes maintenance, people love it. These cats say, I'm going to change the oil in my car today. Going to clean it out, run new fluids in it, 454, all that stuff. Hey, you enjoy it, buddy. That, to me, is no fun. But there are people who enjoy doing maintenance on their cars. Now, building a hunting shed, that's kind of fun. I can do that. But notice what maintenance does. Maintenance keeps us accountable to God. Romans chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, it says, now, we who are strong have an obligation to the weak of those without strength, and not to please ourselves. Each one must place his neighbor's good above him and build them up. Well, that holds us accountable. Lord, I'm trying not to get the big head. I'm trying not to make it all about me. I'm trying to make others more important, at least in certain areas of my life. And then another thing is that maintenance lets us see where there's problems. Right? Maintenance lets us see where things are not working right, or we got a hole in this line, or we need to get some new parts so this will run right. And then another thing is maintenance reminds us that most of what we got ain't ours anyway. The cross that I bear, it's not mine. He gave it to me because He took mine. The gifts that I've been given, they ain't mine. He's given them to me. So I better fight to make sure they're in good shape. I better persevere to make sure when I get there, because the Bible says that I'm going to give account. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. You remember what he said there in Hebrews chapter 6, that while we're helping other people bear their burden, we better be toting our own. Because we're going to give an account. That means we're going to give a spoken record, a reckoning, an explanation of progress and transactions. So yes, maintenance is beneficial. But while maintenance is beneficial, the whole thing this morning is not just simply about maintenance. It's about high maintenance. Remember, high maintenance requires a lot of time, requires a lot of energy, requires a lot of effort. And it gets to a point to where, does it really need all that, you know? I don't like being called high maintenance, do you? But I really would hate it if I knew God thought I was high maintenance, which I am. And I know I am. But it's all around today. You hear it all the time. Like I said, a Jaguar is a good-looking car. I've ridden in one before, and when they run right, you feel like you're gliding. I mean, it's just amazing. But from the first, when they first got them out, it was all about status. It was a money thing. It's about how you looked. And if you've got to buy a part, I hope you're rich. You can have them. What about basketball players, football players? Some of the greatest natural ability that you've ever seen. But some of the greatest athletes are also the biggest divas. And you see it. They can play some ball like nobody's business, but they ain't worth the drama. Just let them go. They flat out high maintenance. You see it on the job site. And now it doesn't matter. It could be service industry, cooker, cutting hair to a server, anything like that. Maybe it's a desktop office career where their higher training and degrees are brought into that, you know. And then there's the idea of the blue collar where you've got to have, you know, up it in. And just, you've got to be of a certain class. But people don't want to work. It's even in the home today. Now, I'll tell you something. Last time I went home to Georgia, it broke my heart. I was a pastor to this couple for years, and they got married, and they were told they couldn't have babies. I remember standing up in church, just weeping. We'd get down on the altar, we'd pray with them, we'd cry with them, and not only did God give them one, He gave them two. Little boy, little girl, man, I had a picket fence, and you got Mayberry and Beaver and all that. So, I mean, God had just really given to them. Last time I was home, I was talking with one of them, and the spouse come to him and said, "My parents were too strict on me when I was a teen. And I missed out on that part of my life. And at this time, I just don't want to be a spouse and I don't want to be a parent. So you just take them and we'll work it out. Visitation somehow." High maintenance. Hit the road. But I don't love her. Or love him. And that was a broken home. Why? We've got broken churches today. And the Bible told us that there was coming a day that it'd be a falling away. And all people would care about is having their ears tickled. I'm going to tell you right now, people don't care about the church in today's society. People come because it's what they do on Sundays. And if something better comes up, so be it. High maintenance. My daddy told me one time, he says, whatever you do to get them, you're going to have to do double to keep them. Whatever you do to get them, you're going to have to do double to keep them. But it's in the church. And see, here's the sad thing about it. Notice, if you remember, he says, you ain't going to get this, man. You're not going to receive it. I already see this. I got some more stuff that I could tell you. But you ain't going to get it. And the reason you ain't going to get it is because you're lazy. It's because you're lazy. You're not willing to put the effort in. So, you see, high maintenance robs the church. So let me ask you this. If they're too lazy to put the time and effort in to the understanding of God's truth, how much application are they doing? You know, putting it into practice. How about this one? If they're too lazy to study the Word and to receive the truth, what about visitation? You think they're showing up for visitation? Nah. It's not happening. And you know what else is happening? When they do have the issues, because they do, you know, there's some preacher, need you, deacon, need you, something going on. There's always something going on. Got to be worked on right now. There's other people that are babes that need it. But the drama king has everybody's attention. It's killing the church. It's killing the new Christian. The little fires, the little foxes are destroying the vine. And here's the thing, is that a lot of people have no problem when it's needed. You know that? Let me ask you this. If there was a baby here today, and he needed a bottle, she needed a bottle, you knew she couldn't fix a bottle, you would have no problem going and fix that bottle, shaking it up, whipping that baby up in your arms, which is my job because I can calm them right down. And you'd hold it. But what if it was a 14-year-old boy? One, if you was his mom or his daddy, you're going to try to keep that hush-hush because some people are going to think there's something wrong with that fella. Number two, it's going to become more and more of an effort because that boy's getting bigger and it's not just one bottle anymore, it's three. And are you going to want to bring people around that? No, you want to keep that in-house. That don't make you excited about bringing people over for supper, does it? But a lot of people don't want to know if they have maintenance. And that's why I want to look at these characteristics real quick. How long we got? Oh, we got plenty of time. We ain't even at 12 yet. Shoot. Remember, some maintenance, much maintenance is good. But there are certain characteristics. General maintenance requiring an effort and amount of service, cars, six babies, all that. But a high maintenance person, a high maintenance Christian, remember, is one that tend to cause problems because they demand attention, they demand time, they demand emotional and maybe even resources. But high maintenance Christians, everything is of utter importance. Right now, we may not make it to tomorrow if this situation is not dealt with right now. I do believe that the earth might explode. Yes, it is affecting us. Joe Biden and everything's going on there, that can wait till tomorrow. We got something going on with a toilet that has to be dealt with. And that's not going on around here. That's why I chose that issue, because there's no bad toilets. It's got to be dealt with. But you know, the Lord tells us this. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Right? Wait, I say, on the Lord. I get that inside of me sometimes. You know what I mean? I get that tightness in here. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with it now. But God's gave me children. And sometimes they just run away from you. You know, they don't want to deal with it. And so then you just have to trust Him. You got to say, God, I really ain't at peace inside right now because I think I need to handle this. I think I need to go to that person. We need to sit down. We got to do it right now. But you know what? Lots of times, things look a whole lot different the next sunrise. You ever notice that? It does. And you know, I've noticed this as well. At least 50% of it handles itself. God just does it. That's the way things go. The next one is they're overly dramatic. They're melodrama. A drama is something it is a composition that's intended to stir your emotions. That's what a drama is. It could be a play, it could be a movie, it could be a book or a poem. But what it does, it's supposed to stir you up. Some make you feel lovey-dovey. Others, Halloween time, what do you get? You're scary. And that's what we deal with in life. Everything is going to stir us somehow emotionally. It is. It's going to make us happy. It's going to make us sad. But you know what? Sometimes just because our emotions are stirred up don't mean we can do anything about it. I've noticed this, that when I am able to hold my, because I can be a drama king, I promise you, ask Amy, buddy. When that heater went out and it was 2 o'clock in the morning, yeah, well, I was running all around. Went all the way to Bristol trying to find a doggone heater. Wasn't a heater around to sell. But I was, got to find it. Hey, we've got a Lord that's over all drama. He's in control. Like I said, you've heard of drama queen and drama king, but think about that. Over dramatic. Meaning that there's certain things that are understandable, but there's a point where you go beyond. There's a point. There's always a fire that's going to need tending. There's always going to be an issue to be dramatic about. Hurt, mad, sad, giddy. There's always going to be one. The next one is high-minded. I call them uppity. Some people have called themselves discriminating. But it boils down to being entitled. The idea of entitled, it's an overall attitude that I deserve it. Don't you know who I am? It's right along with narcissism. Narcissism or narcissist is one that is overly consumed by how important they are. They're infatuated with themselves. The greatest admiration is who they see in the mirror. But this is completely the spirit of the Antichrist. Listen, Galatians 6:3. For if anyone considers themselves to be something when they are nothing, they're fooling themselves. Jesus wasn't just something. He is it. And He stepped down from the throne of heaven to robe Himself in a dirt costume for my benefit. And then I think that I deserve something more than someone else does, or that they're not high enough on the scale to deserve it from me. And here's the thing. We like to think we don't think like that, but we do. We do. At least I do. But I thank God He's calling my attention to these things. Because see, what happened is we good Southern people, right? We was raised to love God, go to church, and you don't do them big sins. You know the big ones. I don't have to go through them. You already know them. You go through them. Because what a good moral Baptist does is not sin. God understands me. He made me this way. And I'm not out there on the big stage. They don't know how I really think about them. But aren't we supposed to be more like Him? You see, that's not adoration, that's manipulation. You're trying to manipulate how it looks. You're trying to manipulate the Creator. You're trying to manipulate those around you that they see you a certain way. When inside you're just saying, keep the filth in. You're not calling it filth. But it's there. High-minded. Y'all saying finish, son, ain't you? I know what you're thinking. Finish. We got to get through these because you don't want to hear it tonight, do you? Closed-minded. They've got a narrow opinion and outlook on certain things. And they're not going to sway too much from that. This is how we do it. It's the way we've always did it. And while they may say, well, I'll listen to something new, whatever. There's not going to be any new trends. There's not going to be any new customs. We don't need new stuff. The way we did, it's been fine. And here's what's sad about that, is what did Jesus say in the Old Testament? I'm going to do a new thing. I'm going to do something different. Matter of fact, it's already on its way. What will we say? Them picking and controlling. Now these ain't the words, I don't even know if y'all use the word picky around here, but it means, I gotta have it this way. I can't handle that picture being a little bit crooked. We got to straighten up that picture, okay? So we can get it fused with ADD. How about just being negative? You know people that's just negative all the time? It don't matter if the sun's shining today, because it didn't yesterday, and it probably ain't going tomorrow. So there ain't no point in me enjoying it today, because if I enjoy it today, I'm going to expect it tomorrow, and then I won't have it, I'm going to be depressed, I'm just going to be depressed today, so I'll be prepared to be depressed tomorrow. I can get like that. That's how crazy I am. And you that crazy too. You just ain't willing to admit it. You know, no pleasant demeanor. And like I said, you know, some of it's understandable. A lot of it's understandable. If this is all we knew. But we have Him. And we have heaven. And we have a hope beyond this life. And we can look at all this and say, yeah, this is hell. It ain't fair. But glory be to the Lamb, because this is my only hell. It's all I deal with. Then there's those that are unforgiving and hurt. And they wear it like a badge. They wear it like a badge. Every wrong that's been done, every emotional, spiritual scar, they wear it. Feel like they deserve to. And maybe. But see, Jesus came so that you could overcome that. Jesus came because you don't have to wear it. You don't have to tote it. He said, give it to me. And I know how. How do I give it to Him? You just keep trying. And you keep trying. And you keep trying. And one day, you'll realize He took it. When I couldn't give it, He took it. And see, instead of being a victim, you'll be a victor. And you'll have a joy and a peace. And it'll show on your face. And you'll hear it in the people's voices. And then finally, the last one is unaware. This is what I mean is we just don't realize it, that we're high maintenance. Because this is how high maintenance I've been. I can sit through a sermon like this and pick out people in the church and people that should be in the church that have every one of them. Every one of them. When I wear them like a belt and never even notice it. You know that? I can be as negative and think I'm being positive the whole time. And then I'll see them and they down and I'm like, you shouldn't be down. I've been so positive around you today. Or poor, poor, pitiful me. You know? I think one of the reasons that Christ commands us to bear one another's burden is because when we bear each other's burdens, every now and then we're going to say, you know, their life is really worse than mine. And I thank God that I'm not going through what they're going through. You say, preacher, that's mean. It's life. And you know what? I'm going to be there. If I live, I'm going to be there. If you live, you're going to be there. But He's already there. He's gone ahead of us. He's prepared a way. He's our strength for today, a bright hope for tomorrow. And He has a life prepared for us. And I don't even think we can understand what the life we can have here if we begin to live the life that He's intended for us. If we'll take that step of faith and say, hey, I'm going to try to make today about someone else. You know what? If I get cut off in traffic, I'm going to say, God bless you. If somebody jumps ahead of me in line and they get the last glazed donut, I'm going to tell them, choke on it. Ha ha. No, I would not tell them. You know, a Krispy Kreme, you tell them to choke on it too. Yeah, for a Krispy Kreme, come on. No, today, the question was, high maintenance Christian, am I one? What is one? Do we have them? And am I one of them? I want to tell you this. I think we all show traits of being high maintenance somewhere, somehow in our life. Maybe as a husband, maybe as a father, maybe as a church member. Somehow we have it in our life. And there's areas we really need to work on. Maybe it's the negativity. Maybe it's the self-centeredness. Maybe it's the hurt we're toting. Hey, a lot of times guilt too. And I'll tell you this, it's hard to forgive ourselves when we can remember who we were. But Jesus says, hey, if Father's forgiven you, He's greater than your heart. You know that emotions that lie to us every time? That's what's telling you you're guilty. It's not the Father. Because there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to ask the piano player to come. And we're going to do one verse this morning. And I know it's not been a salvation type message. But if today you recognize that the relationship you thought you had with Christ is not, it's not what it ought to be. Would you let me just show you what the Bible says about how to establish a solid, sound, eternal relationship with Him. One that you'll know that the Bible is the authority and not a preacher, not your emotions, not a church baptism or anything like that. Maybe today you just need to come and say, God, I've got this area in my life and it's winning. It's winning. It's robbing me of my joy. It's robbing me of my victory. And I just want to see a win. Will you give me a win? You've been good to me, but I need a win here. And I'll give you the glory for it. But I need it. See, here's the thing. He already knows our hearts. He already knows how mad we are. He already knows how broken we are. Let's give it to Him. You know what? What would He do if we just got real? But whatever your need is, what is it? Nobody loves you like Jesus. Think about what He's done. Think about all He's suffered. Does He really want you to live a life of defeat when victory is so close at hand? Let's stand in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You for this day. God, I thank You for Your Spirit, and I pray that You do whatever You want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Whatever your need is, maybe it's membership. Maybe it's just, maybe we'll just say, God, You're good, man. You're wonderful. You've done a lot for me. You're still doing stuff for me when I don't acknowledge You. But He's willing if you're ready. Thank you, Sister Ernestine. All right. Any words or prayer needs that we might have before we close out this morning? Well, Awana tonight, 5 o'clock. And then I've got... Huh? Yes, yes. And then tonight, I've got another 8 more characteristics of high-maintenance Christians that we're going to look at. Nah, we ain't. I'm cutting up. See, come on back. It'll be better. It'll be better. Okay, I promise. We might even sing like we did last week. Anything before we close? Brother John Franklin, would you close us out in a word of prayer?